Hi, my name is Rabbi David Bardo, and this is Mishnah Torah. Today we are in chapter number 9, Mishnah number 6. This Mishnah, we're going to talk about this Mishnah and next one about moisture and when it is desired and when it is not, when it affects us and when it doesn't. If you leave your olives on the roof in order to let them shrivel in the sun, even if they are a cubit tall, meaning you have a ton of olives, and remember, if they're shriveling, that means they're exuding sap / liquid, which is, you know, the higher you stack it, the more you get. Even if you have that much and they're shriveling on the roof, they're not mukhshar, because if you're leaving them in the sun, you supposedly want dry olives. So the wetness of the olive is actually not desirable to you and doesn't affect the tumatara status of the olive. Not namabayit sheyilku v'atid lahalotam lagag. Let's say you put them in the house in order to wither in advance of taking them up to the roof. Or not namagag sheyilku o shiftachem. Or you put them on the roof in order to wither, or to crack open. You want them to split open in order for you to salt them. So then, we can say that this is mukhshar, because in these cases the moisture is actually desirable to you. Not namabayit achi isha meret gago. Let's say you keep them in the house until you finish working on the roof. Let's say you forgot to put your maka up, and you have to put a maka up on the roof before you take the olives up there. Or until you have the opportunity to take them somewhere else, then they are not considered to be mukhshar, because since you're waiting, you really do desire to put them on the roof and you want to do that type of preparation, then or take them outside in general, then any moisture you have in the interim is considered undesirable and doesn't affect the hechsher status, the susceptibility of those olives. Mishnah number 7. Ratzal etol mehen bad echad o shnei batin. So let's say you're still harvesting, you're still adding olives to your heap, and you change your mind in the middle, right? As long as you're still adding to the heap, we've said that it's not mukhshar because you haven't finished doing the harvesting work. But even though you're still in the process of doing so, you change your mind midstream and you want to take bad or shnei badin. You want to take one pressing's worth or two pressing's worth. You want to start processing those olives. So what do we do about the fact that you've changed your mind? Bishama yomrim kotze betuma umechape betahara. It says that you're allowed to take off the olives, the pressing's worth, with a tameh device, with a tameh instrument, meaning, in other words, that this will not affect the tumatara of the olives. While you're taking the bad's worth of olives off, you are not affecting the olives are not susceptible. It is only then, once you cover them, whatever's left, you've sort of made this signal that you've shifted from collecting to pressing, and therefore the olives themselves have shifted in reality, in halachic reality, from insusceptible to susceptible. That's Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. It's a smidge even more meikul. Beit Hillel omrim af mechapet betuma. Beit Hillel thinks that even you can cover them in tumah, in other words, that they don't actually change their status, even though you've taken a bad's worth and you began processing. As long as you still intend to add, we still consider the whole process to be incomplete. Rabbi Yossi Omer, chofer bekardumot shel metechet. You can, this is like hyperbolic language. You can even, the instrument we said that you can use that's tameh, you can use a metal axe to do it. A metal axe presumably is a reference to some kind of battle axe. So an axe that has, you know, av hatuma, like the most tama thing you could imagine, you can use that. Umolich lebet habad betuma, and you can take it to the pressing house, the olive oil press, betuma. Rabbi Yossi thinks that none of the olives don't actually shift their status from insusceptible to susceptible until you actually finish. So he's a more extreme version of Beit Hillel, and ultimately Paskin like Beit Hillel. That is all for today. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you again tomorrow.